pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Yeah. He's still getting used to a haircut. He hasn't really totally given up.
The grief.
Yeah. Well, has everybody read the minutes from last time for our old business?
Yes.
Chairman, I move the minutes be accepted.
Second.
We have first and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, the minutes are accepted. And the next item of business would be, again, from the Secretary of State's office, the financial reports on bingo. And this is up through, including the fourth quarter of last year, right?
That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
I have handed out to the board the spreadsheets running from 2003 to 2008. That's also what you have up here on the board. I think the biggest thing that you can see here is that we've had a substantial decline in gross amount wager to bingo occasions down to 2008. So it looks like it's actually started to level out. The amount of net profit per occasion is actually going up. You see here in 2007 you had a net profit per bingo occasion of $470, and in 2008 it went up to $603. I think that's a function of a number of things that I talked about at the last meeting. One is, unfortunately, we've seen a decline in commercial bingo halls. So we have a more of a compression of groups into a single bingo hall. Secondly, it appears that groups have gotten the point now that you don't have to give out $1,500 or $2,000. $1,500 per occasion or $2,000 per occasion. They're now starting to alter it based on the number of people that they have at any single occasion. The Progressive also seems to be playing into it, that we're hearing of more and more groups that are giving their Progressives away at $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 rather than going to $15,000. And we think that that's keeping more people at a hall. I've also handed out some charts that you have. You can see that pull tab gross was actually fairly substantial back in 2002, and it's declined, and it seems to be leveling out. Bingo gross, pretty much on the same decline, but possibly leveling out. Players obviously are down. Occasions are down. I'm trying to. You can see here that the decline is the same, but if you look at these last 4 years, we're no longer on a straight line. So we'll keep you apprised over the next couple of quarters to see whether this trend will stay the same.
Is the Progressive pull tab in that number?
On this one, this is the gross wagered, so that's everything. That's Progressive, bingo. If you look at your chart, you'll see that it breaks out Progressive pull tabs, bingo only gross. And so what we see, a gross amount wagered at bingo occasions, that includes Progressives. Okay. So that's any questions on the financials? I mean, it's actually
more positive than
more positive than we've seen in the past.
Right. Potentially.
I talked to you last meeting about the sunset report.
Yes.
I believe I handed out to you our proposed constitutional changes. I forget.
You did.
Okay. Thank you. After the Secretary of State gave his presentation to the State Veterans Military Affairs Committee a month or so ago, he brought up the issue about possibly moving it over to revenue. Representative Lambert approached me after that meeting and said that he'd be willing to carry a referred measure. And I talked to him 2 weeks ago, and he said he'd submitted one into the hopper based on the provisions that I had sent him that you have in front of you. So it's possible that it could be on the ballot in November for the off-year elections. If not this year, then you'll see it in 2010. That's the substance of my report.
Do we have an input from the Secretary of State on whether he did that because it was requested by Representative Wiseman in the past to move to revenue? Does he have a position other than neutral?
Right now, all I know is that it's still neutral. I know he's talking to Roxy Huber over at Department of Revenue, and they're having some discussions as to whether revenue wants it. But the start of the process has to be to change the Constitution in the first place. The Constitution, the recommended constitutional provisions only take out the Secretary of State as the licensing agency. So it just leaves it up to the General Assembly. We've also removed a few other things. For example, the requirement that you have to have a paid dues-paying membership. We've modified it from a five-year existence to three, and we've taken out the provision that currently prohibits you from hiring anybody to run the bingo games. So to the extent that that's a positive for the industry, we'll see what happens at the legislature.
Good. All right. So that'll be good. So we can set up a time, if possible, with the Secretary of State to chat with him about.
Absolutely. Yeah. But like I say, right now I think he's just still exploring the issue, and
what's
he's
going
not going
on,
one way or the other.
All right. So we would like to give him some input, in fact.
Okay.
Good. Thanks, Mike. We appreciate that. And now we're going to move on to the main thing we wanted to do today. There's been proposed by some people some new electronics that are not replacing or not taking the place of any electronics that already exist. This is a new electronics game that potentially could increase the profits for the nonprofits. There are some difficulties because they're still not set on what's required in the rules. So far, the electronics from the Secretary of State's position don't necessarily meet all the requirements to adhere to the rules for bingo at the moment. And so there's several things we have to do, but one of the things we wanted to find out is if there was interest with the nonprofits and if there was interest with players. Because if there's not interest from players and there's not interest from nonprofits, then there's no point going farther in regards to what we're speaking about. We have one of the electronics games manufacturers here with the electronics they're going to show us. Most of the electronics manufacturers have similar kinds of electronics available. But these are already working in various states for nonprofits, and so we wanted to bring some in and let the players actually... I brought a couple players from Bingo Hall. I don't know if there's any other players in here, but we want everyone who plays bingo to get a chance to see how it works, does it make sense, and things like that. Does that make sense? Any questions so far? Okay. One of the things I don't
hate to play these games.
Yes, it would be a whole separate session by some organization. Some nonprofit organization would have a separate game going on, not at the same time as your regular game. Okay. And it would be the same as the normal sessions and the same as the normal payouts. And the computer system is set up to be able to stop the game when the payouts are reached and things like that. And so, and there's a lot of other technology as far as how you play it, how you put your money in, all of those things will be explained in this demonstration process. And it also will allow you to see how that works as well. My understanding, and I just want to say this because I asked for some numbers, but they didn't bring me the exact charts, but my understanding is, for example, in places like Alabama where the nonprofits are using these now, they have somehow anywhere from 4 units to, say, 20 or 30 units that are being used, and they're making a profit of somewhere between $200 and $400 per machine per week is what the nonprofits are making. That doesn't necessarily relate to us in the proper way, but it could. I'm just giving you an example of what these machines are doing in some places at the moment as far as the profitability is concerned. I also see, and this is my opinion, and we can talk about all these things, that these would be very useful in some of the places like the fraternal organizations in their hall, you know, and in those kinds of places where they could have people using those machines in the hall. They don't necessarily have bingo in there at the moment because it's so small, but they could use these machines in that hall as far as bingo is concerned to increase the revenue in the fraternal organizations and other places like that.
So is a random number generated?
Yes. Is a random number generated needed? What we're going to have, it already has that, but the question is, the numbers, according to the state rules at the moment, have to be called, and everybody has to have those numbers. And so we're looking at how that could be done, whether it's, this isn't doing that at the moment, but whether we're doing that in regards to calling all the numbers at one time for the whole session, 24 numbers, and those are the numbers that will be used for all the games during that session. That we see that as potentially meeting the regulations for bingo. But we'll talk about the rules and regulations because there's going to have to be a lot of compliance modifications made to the electronics and the software to meet what the state requires from what I can see. Would that be true, Mick?
Yes, sir. We would also make the point that rulemaking can be initiated.
Okay.
So if you see enough interest here, you can initiate
a rulemaking. Okay. Yes. Do you want their names on record?
That would be helpful.
If you're going to speak, you need to go to the microphone, give us your name, and then tell us your organization or what you want to ask. And if we don't like it, we'll just throw you out.
That's
a joke.
I fill this out. Speak first, and then fill this out.
Yeah.
My name is James Swanfelt, and I represent Colorado Licensed Beverage Association. A couple of times over the past years, we've introduced video products in the state of Colorado, and we've run into a lot of problems with the casino element. The casinos, this would be revenue that you see the video game in the casino all the time. And I think that maybe there's going to be a conflict by putting this type of video game in a bingo hall. For the VFWs or the private clubs, I could see it being a beneficial product, but I don't think.
Well, first of all, that could be Jim, but you're going to need to look at it first, because it's being specifically set up just for bingo. Okay, is the whole? It has to be.
Maybe I don't understand what you're actually trying to do here, but I've been down this road before. When it comes to video games,
must be a. Yeah, this is all together a different concept potentially with some things that look similar. Okay, so we'll show you in a demo when
I'll view the total presentation.
Okay, That sounds good. Thank you. Okay. Do I have any questions or comments from the board before we begin the demo?
I think that, to answer your question, it's this is now something that we can put towards rule. We don't have to change the Constitution. So that's where their big
conflict
thing came up before.
Anyone else?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. In that case, somebody, in this case it's Game Tech who has the electronics that they're being demoed today. And so if I could have the person who is really good at this, whoever that might be, begin the demonstration, and then we can get people messing around with the machines. Okay?
Ronald Roger with Game Tech. Give you a little bit of history. We have where these games actually started was for the military. A lot of the military bases have their MWR clubs, and they've had big bingo operations in the past. And unfortunately, they weren't able to have a successful bingo operation where they have to guarantee so much money every session because they never had enough people attending on the military bases. And the MWR clubs still need their revenues. So we came up with games that they could actually put into their, not really a bingo hall, but into their clubs, into the bowling center, into the officers' club. And what they are is still a bingo system because that couldn't play any other type of reels or any slot type of games that still had. Wanted to have something for them that they could generate some money. It also had to be legal as well as not just put in some random number generator. Developed a game that is put in these clubs. We're in the Army bases and we're in the Navy base. And we put in anywhere from 4 to 12 machines in their bowling center, their club. So what we do is we actually have a bingo game that can be played. We've also put them in now in states like Alabama where they're running in charity operations. They actually have limitations on the prize limits. Multiple charities within a big law. We're 3,750. Another county is $5,000. So I'll just show you. This is the point of sale unit right here. And we can go into the when we actually go into a charity operation, there could be four running this building. So we can set up the sales until they hit their max, which is 3750. Actually, we can load that into the system and actually logs all the players out. That charity has to close, and then another charity comes in and at the ball blower is still used, all the balls just like a regular bingo. What they do is as the balls are called, they just simply enter the balls upon the screen. I'm just manually entering them so I can show you. Now those balls that were actually
Those were called, you're
balls.
Saying.
Mm-hmm. And there's the four, we also call 6 extra bonus numbers. Of the 24 numbers are called by the blower, and they just manually enter them into the system. Now this is ready to go. So we can actually go into the by $40.
Must be easier than that.
Prints out a receipt, so they've got $40 worth of bingo cards. And then they go and sit at one of the player units, and there's a pin number, and it's kind of like we have our fixed units that we play regular session. They just key in a pin number. That now loads the $40 credit into their machine. So the players have a bunch of different games to choose from. What we've done as well, instead of just standard bingo cards, we made a lot of graphics around the outside of it, so it looks fancy and it has a little bit of player attraction. We're also trying to gear towards younger players, get younger folks into the bingo halls, and have an idea of what bingo is all about. And a lot of times younger players are hard to get in just to dot bingo paper, so trying to have more graphics, more interaction, so that way they get, you can get some younger players now trying to build our new crowds. This was one of the games we did for the military. Spirit of 76 has the flag and the stars actually around. So actually you can press the cards that you want to play. So they're 25-cent cards. You can play four of the cards and you press play. Now the balls that are coming out are the balls that were called. And you can use those pre-called balls. And you can change them every hour, run them, you know, for the whole thing, or up to the rules, depending on what. Built the system with a lot of capabilities that we can maneuver depending on the rules and regulations. Actually change the software to accommodate a lot of the rules and regulations. So you see that the cards were marked for us. And we're playing for these patterns that are on the side. It's almost like Bonanza, you're playing for a preset pattern. And so whenever you hit one of those patterns, it's also got a prize associated underneath the pattern. So if you win the straight line, you win $1. If you win the bow tie, it's $125. And again, those can all be changed. So you can play the same four cards again. You can play up to a maximum of six cards.
So you can use those 31 balls the whole throughout all the games?
Yeah. And everybody, if we can have, like they say, four of these in a little club, or we can have a bingo operation where we've got 40 of them set up. We actually have a military base in Alabama, an army base that has, I think they've got 80 of these machines. And they play their regular session bingo, and then they play this after session or before session. Players still have their regular bingo session, and then they play. That is,
Fort Rucker?
Bristol Arsenal. Bristol Arsenal. Probably our most profitable in the whole. If their profit is well over $500 a machine per week. Probably close to $600. Have people lined up trying to get on machines like this. That one was very successful. And they've done a good job building it. You know, they built the fine. Max play, and all that does is allow us to play all six cards at once.
How many? When you say six cards, do you mean how many faces? Is that six faces? Okay.
We have different themes. Like I said, it's still a bingo card, still just marking the cards. Here's a wild ball bingo, or wildfire. It's just got a fire theme to it. And we we can also, I think you had mentioned last time you want the audible ball call, and we can actually do that. It's just a matter of putting the sounds into it. We already have the audible portion in the computer, so you just have to turn that audible sound on. Talking with the engineers yesterday. That's something that they want to have options where you can turn it off or turn it on.
How would you deal with groups like the group here today?
You can actually have
but would you have a board where all the balls called show up on the board?
Yeah, it's like in your regular bingo hall, sir, they've got, and when they call the balls, those are all lit up, and the caller calls them all out, and yes, there's still all the flash boards still displayed while that session is going on. So all the numbers are displayed. All the players play against the same balls, so somebody else doesn't have different balls. We do have another option where we can play with a random number generator. All the balls where the random generator picks balls. And they play every 15 seconds. Balls, and everybody that plays within that 15 seconds. And they press play, they're playing against a different players playing.
Yeah.
That's only, we do that in maybe, we do that in the
would it like the flashboard?
Yeah, they don't use a flashboard. They actually just use the flashboard that's on the screen.
Yeah. So those are some of the things we'd have to get rules changed or just do it the way he talked about first.
We can also actually display that on a screen ourselves. We could put a virtual flashboard up and display that. But again, those are the Marines and the Navy had to allow that, where the Army says, no, we want to have the ball.
You know, the Marines are always better at stuff, you know.
I'm not going to get into that. But that's what we do in Alabama, is what we call the balls, and then they're displayed in the hall. Sometimes the small fraternals and whatnot won't have a board, so we'll even go out and see if we can find used boards for them, because we're in that business. We deal with a lot of this. We'll go find used blowers and used boards where we can actually set it up. Find that equipment.
Mm-hmm.
So it actually helps them out. It's really, once you set it up, it's really, there's not a cost. They have to buy the bingo paper, because once you call those balls, we can play that on the machine, or you can have Bonanza cards where you buy from your paper distributor. So you can actually play it on electronic or on paper. That's why the military has looked at these, because it's really an electronic game. They don't sell a lot of paper cards there, but that is the rules. The Army has a whole set of rules for 24 number bingo. They actually play different denominations. 5 cent cards, 25 cent cards, 50 cent dollar cards. And for each one of them, they have to have different. There's not a lot of people that do buy the paper, but.
Charity that runs the game in Alabama, do they run this game separate from their live game?
Yes, they do. They usually run it in between sessions. They'll play their regular session bingo, and then they'll run this either before or afterwards. And sometimes it's a different charity. You might have one charity running the paper. Another charity kind of finish, then they'll start the, another charity will come and start the electronic.
So when they're running a live game, the machines aren't competing with the live game balls that are being called. It's totally separate.
That's still separate, yeah. You don't want to mix the two, because a live game is there's different accounting, so your accounting would be, you know, it's hard to have the, because you're watching the payouts on this, and once you pay out on that, it's, you don't want to, they can't go over the 37.50.
So like in a live game, the players are playing against each other. In this game, are they playing against each other or against the machine and the?
It's basically a bank game, so they're playing pretty much against the system. It's not they're playing against each other, even though they're playing the same ball for one another. But someone could win a straight line up here, and someone else could win another straight line as well.
So they're individually playing an individual game, basically.
Yeah.
Not like a live bingo session where all the players are playing again.
Right.
Is the payout split?
Sorry.
Do you have any installations where, like, these machines are set up, and let's say we open the doors at noon, and at 4 o'clock we close them, or whatever, where people can come and go and play these machines during that, like, 4-hour period?
That's what they do in Alabama. They actually have periods where people just come in. Actually, they're open pretty much from 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning. But they can have 4-hour periods. That's just the rules in Alabama.
So if you had the 80 units set up in the facility, and you had your time period, whatever, I think you had mentioned that you could have more than one charity using those 80 units?
Well, one charity at a time. The one charity we would have run until they hit their max payout of $5,000.
Oh, okay. So they wouldn't be doing it at the same time?
No.
Okay.
We would have one charity just run the operation. And on the point of sale, when we have the charity module isn't in here, but when it does, I was looking for the button earlier. There's a screen, pop it open, and we actually customize little icons that actually has the charity's logo on it, so they can actually just go and hit their charity, pops up their little logo, and then it will print a report saying boys and girls play. You know, here's what. And on this side, on the point of sale, is like a big thermometer. And so the sheriffs in Alabama wanted to be able to have their sheriffs walk into the office or into the playroom. Are they near their max? Because they can't go over. That's a rule. We'll allow them to run over, and we said, well, we'll fix that. We'll just put a gauge on it. Close to the 37. Now, the system logs all the players off and shuts them down. So the players have to go up and cash in. And that charity has to close their bank. Another one can come in and open up, and the players can rebuy in to the next chair. So that's the rule. So that's, we made the system automatically shut it off. And the attorney generals down there just love that, because now they don't have to say, well, are they running $5,000 or $10,000? We don't know about it. We can't run over. And plus, it's a computer, so it does keep track of all the numbers of cards that are sold, all the number of wins and what prizes. It keeps track of the number of players. But a full audit system. It's all on there. Payout, the ratio, it's not a slot machine. The slot machines you can set at, you know, 90% payout, 80%, whatever. It's different when you have bingo, because you've got cards and you've got balls. You don't know the randomness of the cards and the balls. So what we've done is we've actually selected a certain number of prizes, or for the patterns, you take those and you take the cards and you run them millions of times over and over and over. So what we have these set at is about 87% payout back to the customer. It's not exact that for every day, it's over a week. Not like an 87%. Not like a true slot system where slot machines can come in and they can set it, and at the end of every day, you have exactly, you have $100, you know exactly how much you have again. Regardless, as soon as it hits the half the payout, and it'll actually shut the player off, shut the charity off, so they have to cash out.
That's good.
Again, we can adjust the speed on these. We can actually turn the speed even faster or slower. And a lot of times that can be done. It can be done by the player. They can speed up the game. Army says you have to take 16 seconds. Yeah, in the beginning when we first set up Alabama, we didn't know how fast they're going to really play and how fast the machine. So we had to have a charity kind of the next one ready to go. And it actually worked out really well for us because the charity. After a week, they kind of figured out, okay, it's going to take usually about next summer hours. So much. One county in Alabama has no price on it, so they can play. One has 3750, one 5,000, one 7,500. So, like, you give you a tax of time. It's just like they're all over the board.
Yeah. Roger, could somebody? I was just going to say, I wanted to start it whenever we can pretty soon to let people start playing with it so they could get a feel for how it works and what their opinion is, you know, and then say what they liked and what they don't like, and then we'll know what we can change or can't change and things like that. So if we could have anybody who wants to go up there and people can gather around them, and how many systems do we have there already? So we get two players up there now, and then two more players, and then two more players. Well, no, there's two bingo players, I know for sure. How many people play bingo? Raise your hand if you play bingo. Okay, so what we want to have first is people who play bingo to go ahead and start playing those, if we could. And then other people can talk and generally and watch and then ask questions as well. Mike Shea, did you want to say something?
I was just going to ask. We have a limit of 35 games per occasion and a $2,000 payout. So how quickly do you think you'd go through 35 games in Colorado?
I was going to answer that question. The answer to that question is when you look at a game, you can have a pattern into another pattern into a blackout. In other words, you could increase the 35 games just by saying you're going from one pattern, a bingo, to a double bingo, to a triple bingo, to a blackout, for example. That'd be four for one game. Okay, so I think we can figure out how to make it so we can get to our limit in payouts and have more than what you're calling 35 games, because we can do it multiple patterns as one game, for example.
Yeah, just remember that, you know, with rulemaking,
yeah,
if you started it today, it's going to be late October.
Right, and that's why we wanted to get a feel now so we could figure out what we need to do and see if it would really work, and that's really what we want to do.
My question was, how are we going to take care of the different prices?
The prices are going to have to be set by the charity, how much they want to
charge. Not the prizes.
And the prizes, how much they want to pay out.
Don't the rules say that there has to be one price?
No.
There has to be a single price per pack or per sheet.
So if they're having one at a quarter, one at a dollar, one at a week, how do we...
Usually we just run them at quarter games in most areas. Most of the militaries, they just sell quarter games instead of having all the different variants. We built the system so that way we can accommodate a lot of different facets, but pretty much it's just quarter games they're playing.
Mike, would it be possible then with rule hearing to set up rules specifically for a 24-number game?
Sure.
So we could do that. We could say this is how this game is run versus the other bingo games are run. And that would probably be what we would want to do, is set up specific rules for the 24-number game.
If you're running a game every 15 to 16 seconds, then I'm making the assumption you're doing passive play. I don't have to enter the numbers. The random number generator is generating the numbers, and it's populating the cards. Is that correct?
If you use a random generator, yes. The random generator calls numbers every 15 seconds.
And you don't need to enter the numbers is my point.
Right, you don't need to enter them. The random number generator does do that.
But if you call the balls ahead of time, okay, and they're up on the flashboard, then would you enter numbers, or what would you do?
The
computer would do it. So that would be something we'd have to have a rule change on.
So you call one number every 16 seconds with the Army?
or you...
No, every 16 seconds.
The whole game.
The
24 numbers are called in 16 seconds, yeah.
Is it 24?
I have a fast finger.
24 numbers are called, and then if somebody gets into a bonus, then they use six more extra numbers.
I got
so
you.
So the extra three number or six numbers are only used if somebody goes... There's bonus rounds, too. So it kind of gives you that little player attraction.
Yeah.
So if they get a bonus, they can actually win an extra $5 or $10.
But again, we'd have to have a real meeting, probably just specifically for this type bingo game, and set up rules for it, you know, that would be acceptable, and it would interfere with the other bingo game. And we could do all of that. Yes. Somebody yelled at me. Hi. Yeah. One of the suggestions I was going to make is, because so many groups have dropped out of bingo because bingo halls have closed or they weren't making any profit, or all kinds of nonprofits have stopped doing bingo, right? So what I think could happen is, in between sessions, you know, if you have two sessions a day, then in between sessions, you could run a couple of these sessions with some other charities, for example, who aren't doing bingo now, but they could do these, because it would give them an opportunity to bingo. We have a lot of charities, they don't have enough volunteers. This requires maybe one or two volunteers to run the whole game, okay? Two people. And so that would give other charities a chance to be able to do bingo games that aren't doing it now. Because
I'm concerned with other charities. I'm concerned with my charity that's going to run us over if we do
something like that. Well, you still have to work around your sessions. There's no doubt about that. And so if you do this, then you'll have to count a session. There's no doubt that you have to do that. And you have so many sessions. You have like four sessions a week average now that you can do, a little over that. Yes. Yes, anything can be done in rules at the moment, almost. Unless it's constitutional, then it can't. But
so long as the rules don't conflict with statute.
Right. Okay.
As a charity runner,
yes.
I would be pretty angry if another charity was in running this.
That wouldn't be allowed. You don't have... You have, if your session is running and you finish it, then that's when the new session would start. It wouldn't be simultaneous.
You can't rent the whole...
It wouldn't be allowed to do simultaneous, you know. You must be...
Run this in between.
Yeah.
Our charity.
And how many days a week, how many games are you doing a week?
We're already running three.
Okay, so you have room for one more a week is all.
Well, if we're going to get something
in. Unless we change the rules again. Yeah, and again, that's why we would have rule hearings before all of this took place. It's possible we could increase... I mean, it was proposed on Sunset that we had unlimited games, and we decided we felt like four would be a good average, if I'm not mistaken, and that's what we did. So that's just a rule. That can be changed, okay, to meet your requirement, for example, okay? If it made sense for every charity to be able to do one of these games in between their double session, for example, then there's no reason we can't address those rules. Does that help? Answer that question, Jim.
I also want to look into that. Sometimes I have that bin that on the pickles that's the last buying. I'll have two or three players that want to stay there and buy that out. So that would mean that my session's running into this.
Well, let me say that.
Or unless I cut it short and cut off my players.
There are going to be things that we're going to have to work out, Jim. One of them may be that you close down your session and start a new one and then sell your same pickles. You can still sell pickles at this game. It's not like you can't sell pickles.
Okay, well, you're not taking away the pickle bar.
No.
So what I would be doing is running a regular session and then working right into this.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, can we have some people start playing just to see how it looks for them? Okay. Do we have chairs so we can sit down and play?
That's what they're planning.
Well,
if they're always set up.
Yeah, what was... Okay, well, we'll have to come up and figure out how to make it meet that rule.
But other...
The games we're going to play, these are the...
But this is not a rule, this is a statute.
Like, these are the games we're going to play, this is the prices that are going to be...
What you do have is, if you're running two sessions because a month, because of the amount of workers that you have, now you only need two workers to run your whole session. So it gives the group an opportunity to increase the amount of money that they make per session, is what they're looking at. That would be a question for the tech.
You know, well, it's the same as, do you use electronics now?
Put an F in front of
it. Do you bring them now? Does your group
yes.
bring them now?
Nobody. Yes.
It's in the Constitution.
Sir, do your guys...
She said yes, yes, yes. That's what she said.
Yeah. Okay, and do you use electronics now? No.
No, at the club. No.
Okay, so, but normally the way it gets... Where are you located?
Mike, what was that statue?
Where are you located? Where?
They have to continue. Do you know the statute, Channel, that they have to continue? What's the statute that Mike said that they have to...
Is it always...
What was he talking about?
I don't... He brought something over.
You're wrong. Oh, okay. Typically,
that they have to continue.
The service people are there to fix the electronics. From a service point of view, normally our electronics is fixed within anywhere from 30 minutes to 2 hours. Depending on where the service technician is. Local.
They went up there and they went to the
has local service contractors.
We're just so short.
It would be very similar to the military operation.
Yes. No.
Trying to figure out where we even find the
and you could do something like a paramutual where
you see the guy like John even have a little John.
Yeah. We could for us for the
you have a business card? He sells everything.
Thank you. Perfect.
We'll make sure you get what you want.
You don't see it that way. It's close.
It's close.
I just use my phone and it's my watch now. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, on the board.
Yeah, we can do it on our website now, but I'll send it to you. We hadn't even changed the speaker, but
normally you pay a fee per use.
I think the ones you know.
Everybody plays the same game.
So you don't know how much value you have. Because I've heard other people play the game.
Customer again, same guy. He would put the machines are free to put in, but then there would be a fee of about $6.50 per use. Well, you'd probably get more than one. You'd have to have a number of them.
You need, and that's how many they would put in this in their call.
John. So these people are also talking because they do their own bingo, right?
I don't know.
They're talking about getting electronics also, and they need flashboards. They need all kinds of things. They need everything, and nobody's been able to help them. Do you have a signer? Yeah, they're all deaf. So do you have a signer?
If you guys decide that it's a
deaf club, right? They could probably get somebody to sign.
You're going to ask them to come up with a
His group, I don't know, ask this lady.
Yeah, the only one person. You know what? Have you looked at the
What the minimum is you're talking about?
What the minimum number of players, much they have to invest?
It looks like, well, it depends how long they want to play. But typically what they told me before was somewhere around 20 is probably a minimum number that would be viable to make the profit and meet all the goals and everything.
20 during a session?
Yeah.
20 just at any point in particular time? Because it seems like you could have people coming in playing for a few minutes or an hour.
Right, but 20. Maybe. Right. 20. Yeah. 20 machines.
20 machines, okay. But does that assume all machines are going to be
Not necessarily, but they're going to be in and out, like you just said. People are going to play them, not play them, people in and out, in and out, in and out. Now, what he's talking about, money-wise, we change altogether because if we're really going to give out $2,000, we're going to charge a lot more for the card.
Oh, yeah. I don't
and we're going to do more in the way of what we give away now and change the games to meet the meet that kind of requirement, and that's not going to be an issue for the players.
I think you would have to start off
a dollar a card at least.
A card, start small with the payouts.
Yeah, $50, $100, you know, that kind of stuff.
Right? Yeah, I don't see how you're going to be able to give out.
Well, they're going to be, they don't cost anything, it's based on usage. So there would be a fee per use. That's how they would charge. So they don't cost you anything. No. You don't own it, you lease it.
You only pay
when it's used. And, well, it's not a percentage, it'd be a fixed fee, but that's what we're going to have to, they're going to have to figure that out also, because to start with, they're going to have to work with us on giving us free stuff for a while and figure out how to make the games work, how to advertise it, how to work in your hall, all of those things. Game Tech, in this case, would have to help you.
Yeah, you're still going to have to generate paper.
Yeah.
Can't get around that right now without changing the statute. I mean, we allowed the change to verify against the machine as opposed to paper. But I think you kind of have to look at it partly as tips.
Yeah, right. And he's saying they do use paper.
They do generate paper, so that's there's going to be a cost for that.
Yeah, but that's like a how many faces? You're going to have so many per face. I mean, it's like four or six faces is $6. Yeah. You know, you buy one, like $6 maybe for six faces, you know, like we do now. Or $1 per face, you know. Stuff like that. Those are, I think, easily dealt with. And since we would have a rule hearing thing, then we could figure out all the negative things. We want to have all the details. Well, I want to see if there's interest, first of all, right? It makes sense. From my point of view, I don't have any of that, but the fraternals and the clubs, I think that would be a boon for them.
Yeah, I think it works better for an Elks and Moose Lodge than it does for your hall.
But if they say they go in between games and we can change the number of games based on maybe you could do four games a week on regular sessions and maybe you could do four games a week on 24 number or something like that.
That would probably change the statute because I did hear the one complaint back there that she runs right up against her maximum of occasions.
Oh, no. But what we did rule hearing wise, we changed the number of occasions from 3 to 4. We went up to 218 from 100. It was not. It was rule.
Open it up in statute.
It was rule hearing. We changed.
If could change that.
We could say you can do this many regular.
You can have this number of regular sessions.
This number, right. And they should probably be equal based on, well, maybe half, if you do it in between games, for example, or whatever.
But doesn't, I mean, it just seems to me, from a marketing standpoint, that.
Now what?
If you do it in between sessions.
Everybody leaves and they go to other bingo halls. They're open at the time you're not. For example, at our, in Aurora, we have games every day at 11:30.
Right.
Winners has games every day at 2:45. So a whole herd of people will just head off to. And because of the volunteers, only two are necessary. So then the other volunteers can leave, and you don't have to worry about that any longer. Yeah. I don't know. I think we just got to try it. You know, I mean, we don't have the answers because we have never done it. So we don't know.
No, you can't do it because we've never done it.
Yeah, that's right. So I don't know, Mike. I'm interested to see how they.
You guys can make it work.
If it can make money for the groups, it's a good thing. And if it's not making money for the groups, it's no point.
Right.
Charities can't make money. There's no point. That's right. There's no point. That's right. Austin. That's why we brought a few players to try and play and give us input, you know.
You'd have to have some kind of advertising marketing scheme just to make it known.
That's right. It's amazing. When we do must-goes, you know, we have a database. We send out flyers, it's getting more expensive. We have like 2,500 names on our database. Turn of the Century, for example.
Does it appear to you that marketing your must-goes like that has an impact?
What happens is if we don't send out an email, someone doesn't want to help pay for it, then they get about, let's say, 220 people for the must-go. When we send out an email, they get 330. A letter. So the letter costs them money.
Yes.
But they get, you know, 100 players at $30, $40 a head. That's a lot of money. Right. So it works. Advertising works in that, on the direct mail.
Yeah.
It works if you've got a big jackpot.
Yeah.
If you don't have a big jackpot.
Well, then we don't send out. We don't send out the email. You don't send out the letter. We send them out. And that's why you need to know when you're going to have a must-go, even if it's lower. Because you need 10 days ahead of time to send out the thing. So because it's bulk mail.
Can't you capture people's email addresses?
We can, but they don't always have them now, and they don't always put them in. Probably half have them at the moment in our database. But it's still cheap enough if you're going to get that many people. What? Our meeting? Yeah. Has everybody played yet?
I think so.
Find out who still wants to play.
Is this still on? Yeah. Could we restart here in about 5 minutes if we could get everybody wound up in about 5 minutes, please?
Did you play, Dave? Did you win? How are the Boys and Girls Clubs doing?
What's that?
Where'd you get it?
No. Yeah. I can navigate you to it. But I'm sure Larry's the president of the Senate. Or the Speaker of the House on the website. that would be really embarrassing. My boss would have said that. So we got that changed. Now we're doing it right now.
They're going to have a bunch of crap on here, I think, because we forgot to stop recording.
Oh, yeah. That's right. No, it's still going.
Did you notice the other one?